All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Edna White. I am your host of Keeping It Real. And my esteemed guest today is Beth Jones. She is the author of Becoming an Empowered Survivor. We're going to talk about this book today, and we're going to talk about healing. We're going to talk about surviving so that you can be stronger. Welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose, Beth.
Thanks, Edna. So happy to be here today.
Great. I know that we were going through some tumultuous backstory stuff, you know, before the show and all these links and everything.
Yeah.
But we're trying to get it together.
Yeah.
You know, we would have never thought these times were going to happen. You know, we never thought about these times. I think the most technical I've ever been was Skype. I remember that a long time ago? Oh my God.
I do.
Tell my age, right? You know, but we're here now. So we got to grasp onto it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us about you and what you're doing, you know. Introduce yourself to the audience
here. Sure. I'm happy to. My name is Beth Jones. And if you can see there the caption under my name, I call myself the healing mentor because that's what I do. I help other survivors of trauma and abuse to walk their healing pathway to overcome whatever challenges they've been through in their life, but more importantly, how they're living their life as a survivor.
Ooh, that's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for me, I found myself in a place a little over 4 years ago where I had a life quake moment, where I discovered the reality of my life in the past as having been a victim, survived for 45 years, and then had an epiphany, an awakening, and an opportunity to step on my own healing pathway. And that led me through a lot of work to heal myself. And I now use my own experiences and what I believe about the healing journey to help others. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. So you needed to, you knew you needed to heal.
I didn't know that I needed to heal. I actually did not. No.
You didn't. Okay. No. Wow. No. So you came into just like the awakening of it. What was one of the precipitators to that?
So I had what they call the life quake moment or the life altering moment.
Okay.
To a hypnotherapy session in June of 2020. And I went because I had taken on a leadership role in my previous life where I was a corporate executive in a consulting company.
Okay.
And I had taken on a leadership role where I had responsibility and accountability to people and really had to forge deep relationships with people to be successful in the work that I was doing. Previously, most of what I did was project based.
Okay.
And I felt constrained by, I just felt nervous about being able to be successful in that role. And I happened to mention to my medical doctor one day, and she's like, oh, we have this woman on staff who does hypnotherapy and maybe she can help you. So I go in thinking I'm going for, you know, it's kind of like what you go, you want to quit smoking or you want to lose weight.
Yeah, that's the type of therapy.
And I actually had one of the most terrifying experiences of my life because fragments of what I knew about myself and other people in my life who were sort of in a line of family generational abuse, all of those fragments came together.
Yeah.
And I tell people the person who walked into that room died and the healed me walked out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That happens when you're in awakening is really, you know, and it takes something like that, you know, for myself, I know for me, it was a car accident. It's really I call it my cracking of the egg thing. You know,
that's
it was like, when I went into the hospital, I was one. When I came out, I was a total different person. There was no judgment in me. There was just this clean, pure, I think it was this clean, pure, vibrating love that was in me. I couldn't even it was just amazing. And I was like, I'll never lose that feeling ever again.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I had to do work to unbury myself, to find that
violation.
Yes, I live behind a wall. I built this wall around me for 45 mm-hmm. years. Basically, the fortress. And it was to protect myself from being hurt by people. But I was very lonely and alone behind that wall. Yeah. And so I had to break it down to find that those higher vibrations in me.
Yeah. And breaking down that wall is so very important. And I was talking to my grandson, who is a teenager. And so he always calls me his best friend, but I'm not. I'm just somebody he talks. I'm not his best friend. And he says to me, I feel like I'm not grateful for my friends and I don't want to be around them. And he's talking, you know, he's talking his feelings. So I said to him,
yeah,
I think those are bricks. I said, I think you're building bricks so nobody gets close to you because you don't know how to respond to them.
Yeah.
I said, that makes sense. So I said, you only have a half a wall right now, not even half, maybe up to your feet. So what I want you to do is start stepping over it. So if mom and dad are playing in the living room with your sister, go in the living room, get around people. I said, because you know what happens? Isolation builds this whole big wall up and pretty soon you don't know how to get out of it. And it's very hard. So he says, well, I've been doing the breathing you've been teaching me. And it lifted my spirits up today. I said, yeah, you need some oxygen to that brain. And so we were teasing each other. But that's right there, getting behind that wall also creates depression. And it ultimately sometimes leads to suicide attempts. Suicide, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Being isolated like that is not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. No. And talk about that part about you said you were buried. You had to unearth yourself from that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. For me, the word heal is an action-packed acronym that means hope, to hope, evolve, and love. And in the evolution part, evolving, I did a lot of deep discovery work to really dig down inside of me and really learn who I was. When I came back to conscious awareness after the hypnotherapy session, I had an overwhelming sense of having no idea who I was.
Yeah.
And terrified that if I didn't know me, nobody else could possibly
nobody
know
else
me.
Would. Yeah.
So I went on that, journey, and part of that was the deep self-discovery work where I learned so many things about myself, including giving the respect to what I've actually been through in terms of the trauma and the abuse and calling it what it is and appreciating it, I think is the word that I would use, right? I mean, it's something that happened to me and I need to give it the respect that it deserves for what I've been through. And then understanding my survivorship, which wasn't great. I call it my unhealthy survivorship, and some of the ways in which I was living my life built that wall and contributed to my isolation and just really were not healthy. But I also did a lot of work to find the good things in me. So my gifts and my strengths, because I think that's important when we are survivors. In particular, if you have an inner critic, which I had a very loud one.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a, kind of a push pull when you're trying to fight.
Yes, that inner critic. Oh my gosh.
This wonderful person, right? You know, that's challenging work. And then ultimately I also did a lot of work to discover my true life's purpose, which is to serve as a healing mentor to help other survivors, which ironically for me means that the first 50 years of my life, I had to live them the way they were. So I was, this was the first time when I was five, and then the 45 years of living as a survivor. And
I read the part about you being five. Let me see, the micro and
my macro traumas.
Yes. And I was like, oh, that's good. That's good. I like those. I never thought about using micro and macro before. I was like, oh, I would like those. But it seems that, you know, we have something in common. My journey of survival started at age five. And so learning how to get out of this, and I think you're proving it as well, is that it takes doing that inner work just that long, because life does get in the way. Then there's compounded fragments, right?
Yeah.
On top of what you're already trying to overcome.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So doing the work is really, really very important. So it's interesting for me now, beginning for me when I was five, because I'm sort of on the you know, I've done a lot of healing work, and I always tell people always be healing because life happens to us, right? We're always going to be healing from something that may have happened to us, even if it's one of the, you know, the micro traumas. You have an interaction with someone significant in your life and it didn't go well, right? I mean, that's a micro trauma. If you feel pain from that, any sort of pain, right? It's what I call my micro trauma. So I think we're always healing from that. But the big stuff, I've done most of the healing work from the big stuff. And it's interesting to me because I'm spending a lot of time right now with the youngest. I have three inner children and I'm spending a lot of time with the youngest right now, who is my five-year-old. Right?
Oh, wow.
So like full circle of trying to finish bringing her fully, you know, fully into this me now.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting journey.
It's different. It's different. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that. I think my youngest is now he's 34. He learned at 23 about meditation because that's when I was kind of like around that area. He was like, and then he learned about, then my grandkids now know about meditation. They know it about breathing. They know it about, you know, those stretches to open up the hip. They know all of that stuff. So they're so aware of it. Like their mom will be doing something. Oh, mom, this is what you got to do. Tap over here. Where do you get that from? She's like, never mind. You're booba. I know. You know, but you took I'm all tap right here. You know, I love all of that. So I know that you break down in your book that losing optimism, and I think we don't talk about that a lot. Could you share?
Sure.
About that.
Sure. I am naturally a very hopeful person, so I will describe myself as the glasses three quarters full kind of girl.
Yeah.
And had been through a lot in my life up to the point of the hypnotherapy, obviously, where I had had opportunities to lose hope, but had not. Right? I'd always found my way, even through the difficult things, to still remain hopeful and optimistic. Mm-hmm. But when I came back to the conscious awareness after the hypnotherapy, I had that overwhelming sense of despair and complete hopelessness. Like I really like immediately fell into that place when I woke up and I'm like, I have no idea
who
I am, how can anyone else? I lost any sense of hope that I had ever had. And really I felt like I have this enormous problem and I have no idea how I'm going to overcome the problem. And that stayed with me for a couple of weeks. And then I found my way, down a path about reigniting my resolve and getting my hope back. And that took time for me, but it involved me beginning to talk to people, even though I was scared about what I was going through. And the people that I first spoke to, I didn't know how they were going to react to what I was saying. Them because they were friends. They were started out as business colleagues and had become friends, but because of my inability to connect deeply, we had never really gone very deep in talking about us individually. And we went super deep the night that I told them what I was experiencing. And so I didn't know, I didn't know how they were gonna react. And it was the first time I had really ever talked about it. But they were wonderful. It's also the first time that I ever recognized that I experienced unconditional love in my life was that night.
Wow.
It was really wonderful. And that discussion led me to ultimately to books because I needed knowledge about what was happening to me.
Right.
I was able to return to me some vocabulary that I have today to describe myself as a survivor that I did not have back then. And with those words, I did some research to try to find resources. And I found my trauma therapist and I found the books that gave me knowledge about survivors and survivorship. But what I saw in those.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Books was that people were healing, and I was like, wow, if those people can heal, I can do it.
Yeah.
Really, when I got my my resolve back and committed to myself that I was going to do whatever it took to heal myself from what I was experiencing. But it was a period of time to get there when I was in that place of not having any hope. And I hope, you know, hope is my H and heal, because I believe that hope is the fuel that sustains us as we go through the healing journey. And it's hard. Mm-hmm. There are parts of it that are very difficult, and we need that hope to keep us going, that we're doing the right things ultimately to have a better life where we experience love and joy and can thrive in our life, which is where you can get to. And I promise all your listeners that you can, because I've done it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So would you say that you losing optimism was one of the symptoms that you kind of said, I might be a survivor. I might be going through some type of trauma.
I don't want to give away what happened in the hypnotherapy, because it's a great story and it's in the book.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, I had had fragments of a story in my mind for about 15 years, including in a nightmare that I'd been having, a recurring nightmare that I'd been having for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And the fragments of those stories came together in the hypnotherapy session.
Gotcha.
And what I knew when I woke up from the hypnotherapy session is that I had been abused, sexually abused as a child by my grandfather. I knew that without a doubt. And so that was the point where, that's what that was. The realization hit me in that moment when I came back. And that's really the first time that I ever, and I won't say I didn't see myself as a survivor at that point. That was the first time that I ever respected the fact that I'd been abused in my life. First time, and I was 50 when that happened for me. It was the first time. And that, when I realized that, and all sort of the things around my life and about my life began to crumble down, it wasn't really until I had the conversation with those two women, and one of them said to me, she said, you've been sexually abused, you're traumatized, you're sick, you need help. And some of the things that I was, symptoms that I had been having. So I suffer from dissociation. And so I was describing to them that night my loss of memory, which is how I would always talk about it before. Not like I had the memory and I lost it, but just like it's there.
It's not there, right.
Most of my life, I don't recall the way that people do. And I would always query people in conversations before that, about how your memory works. I'm like, what do you see? And is it a movie? And like, are your five senses working? Where I was very curious about that because I don't have that. And what the word she said to me that night was dissociation. So she began, so the next day I'm looking for trauma and therapy and dissociation. And all this stuff is coming up about being a survivor and survivorship and all these books. So it was sort of a progression there pretty rapidly where I recognized myself as a survivor. And then when I read the first book that I read, if you look at the margins of that book, it's me, mom, dad, my husband. Because we are all survivors.
Right.
And I could see every one of us and our behaviors in that book. And that's really when I realized I am a survivor and there is something that I need to heal from. And it turned out to be more than one thing that I need to heal from.
Oh, but yeah, absolutely.
It was really after the hypnotherapy that brought all that together for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that I too suffered from missing pieces of my life, so I could piece together life. I was missing a whole bunch, and just now in life, I'm missing this piece here. Where is it? What's missing? And it's scary not to know. And I know that, I work on it all the time, trying to remember. And what took place and those type of things. But it's a lifespan. Hmm. It's so hard because it's a lifespan. And you and I are proof that it takes a lifetime to kind of mend from these things. And just like you said, it's not one thing, it's the many layers of it. So it's the deceit. It's the person, you're not trusting the person anymore. It's the person that's supposed to have loved you and took care of you, made a safe space, and it didn't happen. And it's all those things. And then it's reoccurring. Now, here I am, and now it's happening again and again and again. How do you start to take off that? And I remember as a child, when I was being abused, I would disassociate. I would go somewhere else. I would go, I don't know, I would literally go out of where I was, body and everything, and just be gone, you know, and just be gone in my mind. And then once I would open my eyes, then I realized it was over. I'd get up, and it was like I'd start wherever I ended. Like, so whatever I was doing, it was like, okay, go back to that. Like, I didn't miss a beat. And I think that was part of my disassociation. I would take my mind, would go somewhere. And it was a protective, you know, a protective.
Sure. Yeah, know, it is. It is.
It's something that protects you. So, yeah.
That's interesting. I had no awareness that that is what I was doing until I got into trauma therapy recently.
Right. Okay.
And I now know it's my default mechanism, but I actually think what was happening for me is that I just stopped recording.
Yeah.
So, and I know that that's what I believe now because of more recent experiences that I've had when I would be like in a, you know, confrontational discussion, argument, call it what it was, with someone. And I realized that I hold in me the feelings from that encounter, but I can't recall the details about what I know. There was a fight, but I can't recall the details and the words that were said. He said, she said, I can't recall any of that. And so that just, I just literally, my mind just says, I'm not going to.
It's too, it's too hard.
I don't feel like I've like gone somewhere else. Yeah. I know I was there and I was participating. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, this isn't, we don't need this.
Exactly. And it protects you.
Is what it's doing.
it protects you. I know that. I would be triggered by someone arguing, and it could be, it don't even have to be my house. It could be down the street and it just goes through me. You know, I could hear it and I'm like, you know, like this, you know, worried about it, but it comes from, you know, in my life, I've heard a lot of arguments, fights, blood, you know, and that's how I started remembering things. It's like when something triggered me, I'm like, why come I know that? And my body would completely respond to it completely. It would be like, I would get up and want to go. Cause one of my things I would do when my parents were fighting is I would get all my siblings and put us all in the pantry and just like wait until it's over. So even hearing something like that, I would be thinking, I gotta get up, like, and make sure everything's okay, and then come, you know, and secure the place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It, your body remembers that, and you know, even though your mind sometimes doesn't, it like when conflict happens, I used to shut down. Like as soon as somebody started screaming, hollering, I just stand there, and I'd be gone. Like you're like, no, I'm not gonna deal with this. You know, and then. I wouldn't hear nothing they said. I could not hear a thing. They were like, do you hear what I said? No, I would just go away. Just not good. Cause it would just brought me up to a place, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't want to be in.
Didn't want to be in.
Yeah.
They didn't want to be in there. Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to give away all the goodness of the book, but I will tell you guys, it has some stories. I didn't get too far. I didn't get too far, but I don't want to. I'm going to come back and I'm going to do a review on this. So, guys, you look for me to do the review on this. So, you see where my marker is, right? You see where the marker is right there. So, I am coming back to give a review on Becoming an Empowered Survivor because I heard Survivor to Thriver, you know, Survivor to Victory.
That's a good whatever, story.
But I've never heard Becoming an Empowered Survivor, which means so much more. Empowered.
Yes.
So I love that. I love that.
Yes.
Because you said something more important. If other people can heal, so can you. And that's
powerful. And if I can, the others can. It's like we can all do it.
It's a big old circle. Remember that commercial years ago with the shampoo? And it says, I told somebody, and so on and so on and so on. And then they had little frames of like millions of little heads. I think it was Sassoon. It was Sassoon shampoo. It was a long time ago, But yeah, it had the little tiny heads, and it was a girl with blonde hair. You know, I my hair was felt great, and I told somebody, and so on and
maybe,
so
maybe
on.
That's how
healing is.
It was a long time ago. So I grew up out of the U.S. So and I like a lot of like pop culture and like rules and movies and all that. So people say what you're saying to me all the time. I'm like, I don't know.
I should have known that because I did read the first part. You weren't here. You didn't live here. Yeah, I should have known better.
It's okay. I get that a lot. I'm no fun. You're like, you're spoiling my joke. Right.
Yeah. No, sorry about that one. I read that you didn't live here too. That part I read. So yeah. Is there anything you could tell us about what you what's on the horizon for you?
What I've been through, the journey I've been through has been about personal transformation, radical transformation of myself, but that has led me to professional transformation. Okay. So I wrote the book because I've known for a while that I had a lot of power in my story and that my story needed to be shared to help other people.
Okay.
And so I've been on a path for about 3 years now that has led me to the place where the book is out. And there's a story in the story about how I became a writer and a storyteller, which is also in the book. So I'm not going to spoil it because you'll read about it. It goes back to college. I'll tell you that one of my very good friends back to college is a master storyteller, and she's been helping me down this path for a while now. But with the book coming out, I knew that there was going to be a full shift in what I'm doing. So I no longer do what I used to do in the corporate world as a consultant. I used to do fraud and white collar crime investigations, and I don't do that anymore. And now I am full-time working as the healing mentor. So I work with people one-on-one to help them as they're on their healing pathway if they need my help. But I spend a lot of time doing this, talking to people in a variety of different settings. So on podcast and on YouTube and in rooms and on stages. And that's really what I'm trying to do, is just spread the message very far and very wide. So I do that full time now. I will be launching my own podcast probably in January, if not December. That's coming. I have a website out there. You can go learn a lot more about me. The website is empoweredsurvivors.com. There's all kinds of information about me and my work out there on the website.
Oh, that's so good. All right. Yeah. Well, all I can say, this has been really helpful, and I know that my audience has gotten a lot from it, or will get a lot from it.
I hope so.
Or when the replay, they will get it.
I hope so.
But thank you for being here. You and your amazing book.
It's beautiful.
Becoming an Empowered Survivor. And remember, you too can heal from trauma and abuse.
Yeah.
This is Edna White, your host, and my esteemed guest, Beth Jones, saying goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.